You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Chof Beit. And we're holding in the middle of the three-way machloket as to how to strike the proper balance between the Chatatov and the Olatov. Just once again, so that we're reminded of this sugya, because we're going to have to today look into a little bit further. We have some very serious contradictions on the surface of the psukim. On the one hand, the Torah puts together the chatata'ov and the olata'ov in the case where you need a cane, which is a pair of ofot, that are coming to take the place of a korban chatat. And that's called a olat chova. There's also just an olat that's brought on its own, which is an olat nedava. And what's interesting is, once again, to just a review, when it came to chatat, the Torah is quite clear about what it wants. It says to do a malika, it explains what malika means. Malika means bimul oref, as we learned in the previous sugya, and everything is clear after you do the malik. It says be very careful to be molek, but not to be mechalek, not to tear that bird into two by separating the head from the body. That's awesome. Okay, but when it comes to the Eila, it's extremely opaque. All it says is, and now come to the second bird and do it the way you're supposed to. And of course, that's a delicious pudding for us. I mean, we can come up with anything. Do it the way you're supposed to. So obviously, the first thing that we would be thinking is do it the way you're supposed to. Kamishpat, the way you just did this one. I mean, after all, it's what I just told you. There's a couple of problems with that. One problem with that, and today we're going to wonder why we need a couple of problems if we're going to settle them with one problem. But the most clear-cut indication that it can't simply mean do it the same way you did the other one is because in the parsha of the Nedava of the Olatov, it says the word vihikrivo. Vihikrivo has that additional pronoun that makes it very, very much the object of the verb. It and only it. Bring it. I mean, otherwise you can say vihikrivo, that's what we're talking about. Do the maisakrova. Do the maisakrova to it. That stress on the to it means you wouldn't do it the way you did it to anything else. This is unique. So now I know that the olatov is not like the chatatov. So then the kemishpat can't possibly mean kemishpat chatatov. Or can it? It could mean kemishpat chatatov in certain ways. Maybe there are certain things that are similar to the chatatov, but certain things that are dissimilar. Fine. Those are possibilities. We'll go over them in a moment. Now, the other indication that it can't possibly mean to do it precisely as you do the chatata ov is the fact that in the entire description of how it is that you would go about bringing this bird for an oila, it makes it very clear from the order of the psukim that there are two separate acts of haktara. Because first it says to be vihiktir, and then it says nimtsa damo. And then it says to be mishaseya, which means to tear apart from the back, the main body. And then it says viktir again. So obviously, we were handling the head separately. We're maktir the head. Then we came to the body. We're mishaseya. And then we put the body on the fire. So obviously, when it says v'lo yavdil by the chatas, it would be a little bit silly to say that that's what we're doing for the oila, if it's making it very clear that the oila is in two parts. Now, you could say, well, hold on a second. That's when it comes to the haktara. Who's to say that at the point of the malika and the zrikas adam, not to be confused with the mitzui adam, remember, the mitzui is the squeezing out, which is a different thing. To be zerg, it's take the body into to sprinkle. Mitzvah is to squish. The mitzvah of the chatas ofres, we have a machlokas bechlal, whether it's even ma'akev, if you remember. They can get away without doing the mitzvah, because it's the equivalent of the shvicha shirayim on hezvachim. Fine. But all those things we don't really have to get into here in Chulin. But one thing is for sure, that the Gemara says, since it says v'molak niktir, it's comparing the malika to haktara, I can prove to you that haktara is at separate stages. If it says v'molak niktir, it has to mean that the malika is at separate pieces, the same way that haktara is at separate pieces. So now I know there's no possible way to compare that olata off in two pieces to a chatas, which is in one piece, where it says v'feris v'lo yavdil. As a matter of fact, now that you think of it, and it's with this question that Suki is going to open today. Why the heck would I need two psukim to tell me that they're not the same? That stress on the hikri vo that says, well, it can't be the same. Obviously it can't be the same. If the rosh is ba'atzvo and the guf is ba'atzvo, it can't be the same. That's a given. Fine, we'll discuss what that would mean. Now, once I understand that I have these constraints, so clearly there's two possible ways of approaching it. Either we could say that the kemishpat implies a comparison to something other than the chatas of, and that's the Tanakhama's approach. What he's really referring to is a chatat behima. And then we run into the other problem, if it's a chatat behima, so then isn't a chatat behima kosher berov shnayim? You might think kibishpat would mean berov shnayim, because chatas behim, that's what you do. Shchita, typical shchita, you don't have to do the entire semen. Therefore, we need to know that this, however, is unique, because you need to have the rosh batzma and the guf batzma, which means that you have to have it completely separated. And you do an absolute chaluka. So it's different. Okay, that's one possibility. The utter opposite approach is the approach that we were calling the Reb Elazar ben Shimon machlokas with the Chachamim, and that is that actually kemishpat does mean kemishpat chatat ha'ov, and that actually you'd have to be holding the two pieces together. Holding the two pieces together, I thought they were separate. Ah, obviously, therefore, it has to mean that what you'd need to do is you need to cut both. Because, after all, the Vayikri Vo tells me that it's different, that it can't be Kamishpat, but nonetheless they have to be together. How is that? You only do the Rov. You must not do the whole thing. So that although there is, in fact, a mitzvah of Havdalah, but that doesn't mean that it's completely separated at the time of the Malik. So we had a Machlokes, one extreme to the other. According to Tanna Kamma, you absolutely must have them separated. And they're not completely like the Chatas Ha'ov. According to Reb Elazar ben Shimon, you absolutely must have them connected because they're similar to the Chatas Ha'ov. It just can't be limited to one simon. Those were the two extremes. Then we had the middle Shita, which was basically the same as the Rabbanan in the sense, in the practical terms that we're considering, and that is that it's got to be that you do the entire thing, and that it's not compared to the issues of Shita. The only thing is that he learns, what do you need kemishpat? Obviously you need kemishpat. Kemishpat chatat ha'ov. But what is the mishpat chatat ha'ov? You never defined what malika means when it comes to noiva. Kemishpat chatat ha'ov means that malika is done mimul orpo. That's all that it means. Maybe it means the whole thing. It can't. Because Vayikri Vo tells me it's got to be different. You don't say lo yavdil. Okay, so there's a din of Abdullah. But there's also a halacha of how to do the malika. And obviously, we're going to have to account for how everybody else knows where to do malika from. Okay, separate question. So our major question today, and we're now holding on the sixth line down of Chavbet Amun Aleph, is the question that we just raised. Why do we need two separate indications that the Eula and the Chatas cannot be equal? We said, don't think that Kemishpat means Kemishpat HaChatat. Because there's Vayikri Vo. And then you come along and say, but of course, it can't really mean that you would only do Rov Shnayim. After all, Malak Viktir teaches me that you separate completely the head from the body. Well, if you separate completely the head from the body, then I know that the Olah Ta'of is not like the Chatat Ta'of, because by Chatat it says, do not separate the head from the body. So what do I need meat revolve for? That's the kasha, v'tana kama. V'chimiyachar denavkalan mivalak v'viktir. Look, the bottom line is that even after you have the comparison to the, supposedly, to the Chatat Be'ma, you're going to need to come on to the Pasuk of Malak V'Iktir to tell me that if you do the Haktorah in separate pieces, then the Malika has to result in separate pieces. Well, once I know that, then I don't need the V'Ikrivo. So it's a very weird thing to do, to first prove on a theoretical basis, well, they're not the same. Okay, they're not the same. So what must it mean when it says Kamishpat? It means the same as the animal. Oh, so it's the same as the animal. Well, not really. Because the animal is kosher barov shnayim, but over here it says v'malak v'iktir. Oh, that's ridiculous. Start off at the beginning. It says v'malak v'iktir. Therefore, they're not the same. Okay, so then what's the din? But you don't need at first this theoretical description. It cannot be that it's the same as the chatas. So then v'ikri v'olamali. Says Igmar, because the truth is, if I hadn't first theoretically established that the Chatas and the Eula are meant to be different, but that's a given, so then I could have explained that the when it said Kimishpat, it really did mean Kimishpat Chatat Ta'ov, not Kimishpat Chatat Be'ima. So you'll say, well, how could it mean that? After all, here it says V'lo Yavdil, and here it says v'molak v'iktir, which means a rosh batzva v'guf batzva. I'll tell you what I would have said. I would have said, look, the bottom line is that v'molak v'iktir cannot mean completely to separate. You know why? Because it says kemishpat. Remember, I've created a tension. I've created a tension between the kemishpat and between the differences. Without v'igriva, v'molak v'iktir. What would be the most logical solution to that tension? I can resolve the tension very simply. I could say, the Malak V'Hiktir is not coming to address the pieces of the Malika. I mean, why would it? It's much more reasonable to be comparing a din, which, by the way, we actually do have to learn from this pasuk. The Malak V'Hiktir comes to tell me, it's coming to tell me that the Olah Ta'of goes on top. And when I do the Malika, when I do the Dam, everything that I do on top, above the Chut HaSikra. That's the Malak V'Iktir, just like the Haktorah has to be above the Chut HaSikra. All of the Avodot are done above the Chut HaSikra. Of course, the Malika doesn't mean literally it has to be. It's just that you got to do it right there where you have the blood. Now, so I'll say, I mean, you'll say, well, why not go all the way? Why not say that it means that it would be kemishpat? It would. It means kemishpat, chatasov, completely, 100%. Do not do a havdalah. What do you mean do not do? Malak v'ikir? Nah, Malak v'ikir means on Rosh Hashanah Mizbeah. You see? But once the Torah says, hold on, it's not that we have a tension that you're going to resolve by determining that the Indian of Malika and its comparison to Haktorah is for some side issue that doesn't affect the actual way in which I do the Malika. Just talking about the place. Because, first of all, they're not meant to be the same. So if you're going to resolve this, it's not by pretending that they are the same except for this issue of where, you see. Once I establish that, so then I know Durosh Benamiha. If it's meant to be a mirror image of the Chatas Of, so then the Lo Yavdil of the Chatas Of is directly what the Malak V'Iktir is coming to tell me. Do not say Lo Yavdil. Do the Malika in such a way that it results in a separate body and a separate head. That's the point. So I really do need first the theoretical description of the fact that they're meant to be different. So now, drosh beinami hom. Okay, so what are you left with? You're left with this comparison to chatat beima, and you're saying the chatat beima. What is that coming to teach me? Chatat beima inaba elachulin ubayom ubayado hayimanit. How do we know that a chatat beima can only be brought for chulin? Amr of Chista, the Amr of Kro, the Kriva Aron, et parachatat asher lo. What are you stressing now, asher lo? I mean, it says, Aaron should bring a chatat. But I have to keep referring to the fact that it belongs to him. I mean, that's, of course it belongs to him. It should just say, griv Aaron et chatato. So it says, parachatat asher lo, it's stressing. And it does this twice, mind you. It's stressing that the ownership has to be completely unambiguous. It's mishalo, personally. It cannot be brought from the Trumat Alishka, and he'll say, look, you know, I'm really bringing this as part of the Avodat Yom Kippurim. Makes sense to put it on my expense account. No, it has to be out of his personal pocket. And the other one comes to tell me, v'lo mishal ma'aser. It cannot be brought from monies that are already set aside for the pidyon of Beis HaSheni. So I have now Kedushas Maaser on this money. Yeah, but you said Biyom? Why would I need Biyom to learn out from Achatas Behema if it says Beferish in the Pasuk as a general statement? Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavotoy b'nei Yisrael lakriv et korbanehem. I mean, doesn't that include all the korbanot? Is there something special about the chatat be'ima that is more primary alimud than would be directly to the olat ha'ov? Isn't that one of the korbanot? B'yom tzavotoy nafka, that's that pasuk. B'yom tzavotoy b'nei Yisrael lakriv et all korbanehem. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just that we're used to putting those things together. The, you know, the minachulin biyomu biyodayu anit, all over. We mentioned that as a group. It's, I forgot myself for a minute there. Kedei nazva. That's just brought along on the side. But what about yadayu anit? You don't need yadayu anit either. I mean, yadayu anit, I thought we learned that out from Rabbi Bar Chana. The Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Either etzpa or kahuna, ena ela yamin. I mean, it says v'kriva a kohen. So kohen is learnt out from the din of a mitzorah, where it says the kohen takes etzpa yamanit, and therefore it has to mean dafka biyado yamanit. Well, the truth is the Tanakhama doesn't agree to that. The Tanakhama holds, as we saw Shita, that where it just says kohen, that doesn't mean yamanit. You need the word etzpa, particularly. Etzpa is sufficient to stand on its own. Doesn't require kahuna, but the real source of the din of yamin is etzba o yamanit. Now, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon did not learn from Kemishpat the fact that Malika is done mimul oref on the Ola Ta'of. So where do they know that Malika is done mimul oref? I mean, can't just leave that out. So where do they know Mimula Arif Minalohu? Gamre Milika Mimlika. They learn that Mimul Arif is a description of the nature of Milika. Is that a separate issue? Of course, this gets into the question of what are the other differences between Malika and Shechita. Does Malika necessarily mean a pressing action as opposed to a to and fro action? You know, I mean, if it does, then maybe the word v'malak has a reference to the way in which you do this, but not necessarily the precise place that you would do it. So maybe there I would need a raya. But if you hold that the definition of malik is mimul orpo, so then obviously it's just simply a mamatzino. Mamatzino malika. The only malika that we know about is the malika of a chatata of that has these details. Then fine, you know, if that's the case, it's done the same way that Malika is done. I can't make up new rules for Malika. No, it says Malika. It just doesn't say Mimul or Po. It's only by Chappas that it says Mimul or Po. It just says Malakat Rosho, the Yikrivo. All right, our president has elected himself to not be here for today's Zok der Helek HaMishnah. Kasher b'torin pasul b'vnei Yonah, Kasher b'vnei Yonah pasul b'torin, Tchilat atziyuv bezel bezel pasul. As I mentioned to you when we started the series of Mishnayot that closed this parak, what we are engaged in right now are a series of mirror image halachas. And they begin with the imaging of the shechita mul, the malika, and of course the only place where we find the word mul as a juxtaposition is with the shechita malika. But once the Torah has juxtaposed the Oref Alopanim, what better place for juxtaposition of halachot that in fact are complete opposites of each other? So when it comes to the din of the korbanot that we've... what an amazing coincidence. We were just talking about that issue of birds. Amazing. Anyway, what are those birds brought from? Those birds are brought from two possible species. One of them are the Torah, and the other is the Yonah. Remarkably, every time it talks about a tor, it just talks about a tor, the species name. When it talks about the Yonah, it mentions the Bnei Yonah. Now make up your mind. I mean, is the way you want to refer to the members of a species by talking about the Bnei, like Bnei Adam? I mean, you could say Adam. You say Bnei Adam. Adam ki akriv michem. Or Ben Adam ki akriv michem. So, why would you say Torim uvnei Yonah? I mean, it's either Bnei Torah or Bnei Yonah. Or just say, Bina Torim uvnei Yonim. So clearly there's a difference between the two. And what the Gemara is going to derive the difference is that Bnei does not mean members of the species. Bnei means the young of the species. And actually, both of these species are not kosher in the prepubescent state. I mean, the immediacy, rather, in the adolescent state. Neither are kosher as adolescent. So the Torim are kosher as adult, and the Bnei Yonah are kosher as the prepubescent. But you can't have the middle stage. So teenagers are pasul for the Mizbeach. So kosher, and we're going to get on to the other teenage in the animals as well, so whether they're kosher, as we'll see. So kosher b'torin, whatever would be kosher in a tor, the species of tor, would be posel b'bnei yonah. What I think they call these turtle doves and pigeons in English, but I'm not really sure whether those are accurate descriptions of the precise species. If we want to know what they aren't, it's so the kosher in the Torah means the adult would be pasul b'nei yonah because it's already too old. The kosher in the ben yonah, which is the child, is pasul in the Torah because it's too young. The tchilat hatzihuv bezeh ubezeh, the stage of adolescence, just coincidentally in both of these species, is the beginning of a bright golden coloration in a band around the neck of those feathers, which is the sign of the onset of a super teenage grooming, and obviously they've just been to the feather dresser, and it's got to be that they're teenagers, and therefore they're puzzle. Tana Rabban. Torim. Torim means gedolim. They're kosher, but if they're ktanim, they're puzzle. Bnei Yonah means ktanim, and only ktanim are ksherim. But gedolim are psulim, which means nimtza kosher b'torim, pasul b'nei Yonah. Of course, we're going to have to try to figure out what that is. Pasul b'bnei Yonah, kasher, pasul b'bnei Yonah, kasher b'bnei Yonah, pasul b'torim. Tana Rabbana, the word torim, it's got to be gedolim v'lo ktanim. I mean, the truth is, you might have thought, you see, that v'halodinu, Tosis points out that it is an oxymoron to say sheyochol v'halodinu, because sheyochol always introduces the idea that if it wouldn't have been for the pasuk, I would have said this. But the lodinu is always mashma, I would have said what the pasuk says, not the opposite of what the pasuk says. So you can't use both. If you want to say the opposite, then you have to say sheyocho. But to say sheyocho valodinu is funny. Well, maybe. But in any event, I mean, it could certainly be read that if it wouldn't have been for the pasuk that you are asserting this way, then I would have said the opposite because of this. So anyway, valodinu. If the B'nai Yonah that we're going to show are only kosher when they're the prepubescent, then they are obviously more likely, I mean this implies, a bird is more likely to be kosher as a young bird. So if the Torim are kosher even as an adult bird, kosher cane, they should be kosher as a nice, sweet, little, young bird, an innocent bird. Just what you'd like to be molek. Talmud Lomar, Torim. Therefore the Torah stresses Torim, which means Gdolim, Velok Tanim. See? Of course, we're going to ask, where does it say that? Okay, but we'll ask that in a minute. Now, B'nei Yonah. Ha! B'nei Yonah clearly means a young bird, not an older bird. Because after all, I would have thought, isn't it a kavachoma? If Torim that are not kosher as a young bird, so clearly it's easier to be kosher if you're an older bird. Hukshuru b'gdolim. Then B'nei Yonah, which are hukshuru, even as k'tanim, should for sure be kosher as gdolim. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, B'nei Yonah, k'tanim v'lo gdolim. Where do you see that in the pasuk? I don't understand. My Talmud, what about the pasuk says that to you? Omar Rava, says Rava, I mean, look, what are you understanding? That it's just sort of either or, you know, B'nei is just loose. I mean, lo lishtamik Rava liftov min B'nei ha-torim o min ha-yonah. Okay? I mean, you're telling me that Gedolim would also be kosher. So we've got so many different mentions. We've got the Korban Olav Yored. We've got, where it mentions two. We've got the Oilas Nadav. We've got the whole story of Azav, Zava, Yoledas, Mitzayra. I mean, every single time it talks about birds, and every single time, darn it, it's always talking about Torimu Bnei Yonah. Now, how do you explain that? I mean, obviously, it means exactly what it's saying, Torimu Bnei Yonah. So then it's telling you the Bnei Yonah have to be young. That's all. Tosfos says it isn't a matter of the repetition. We're just making it more persuasive. It's not the point that Shana Lavakatuv La'akev, because we've got so many psukim. It's that if you're using something that is so blatantly unnecessary to say as B'nei Ha'adam instead of Adam, and you're doing it in the same pasuk where you're contrasting it with something else, obviously it means what it says. That's the meaning that I'm addressing. Which is sort of expanding it by saying, I mean, for heaven's sakes, does it strike you as being rather meaningful that it's repeated over and over again? Well, it does strike me as being meaningful, but only for the B'nai Yonah. I mean, I understand that if you want to tell me only the K'tani, then you have to stress the B'nai. But if you mean a species, generally speaking, a species is either the K'tani or the Gedolim. So how are you going to say that? So when you say Torim, you mean Torim could be anything, but the Yonah has to mean the B'nai Yonah. That's what I hear. I'm ready to go along with the B'nai Yonah. So Ema, B'nai Yonah, the Katuv, Rachmana, B'nai. Okay, makes sense. K'tani mean, Gdolim lo. But I mean, when you say Torim, it should mean, Iboi Gdolim light, Iboi K'tanim light. I mean, that's already up to you, a member of the species of Torim. Ah, but the point is that stressing the specific identity of the species in this way means that they are meant to be seen as a group, Torim, either, or B'nai Yonah. Now, as a group, they would have to therefore share in common the specificity. If the B'nai Yonah, you're ready to go along, means as described, Tanimin Dolim Lo, then the Torim cannot just be a general species mention, because B'nai Yonah is not a general species mention. It's the identification of the member of the species. Then we have to look at the Torim as an identification of a member of the species, and that's the way you refer to the adult in this context. Therefore, the Torim have to be Gdolim in Tanim Lo, and that is the point of our constructing this Mishnah as a Mimul. Because the Torah has basically given us the information through the juxtaposition. So the Mishnah's juxtaposition is not just a cute way of presenting the halacha. It's actually an accurate description of the way the pasuk forces us to think. Think about these things as juxtaposed species. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, the way the Brayta puts it is like this. Yocho you call out during the whole B'nai Yon Akshiri. See, you might think that there's no limits. In other words, once we've defined the Torah and we've defined the Ben Yonah, we understand one is an adult, one is the child, but, I mean, as long as that's satisfied, everything's okay, right? No. Talmud Lomar, min ha-torim. Some Torim, not all Torim, min b'nei ha-yonah. Lo kol b'nei yonah. And that is coming to tell me that teenagers are out. Because like this, I would say, well, the adults, you know, the teenagers always claiming to be part of them, except if it comes to responsibility, then they're always claiming to be part of the B'nai. So basically, you could include them either in the Tor or in the Ben Yonah. Therefore, it comes to tell me you can't use it for either. Not all Torim and not all B'nai Yonah. So therefore, the furthest extension of the adult or the child is excluded. Prat v'chilat ha-tziyuv shebezeh v'shebezeh, which is pasul. Now, when you say bring a Ben Yonah, I mean, you obviously can't bring a hatchling. I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, so at what point is it considered to be a bird-like enough to be suitable for Mizbeah? So, me'ematai ha-torim kisherim, mi sheyazhivu. It's from the time that they begin to, this is not referring to the neck feathers, this is the feathers on the body itself that have this reddish color, ruddy color. And that they don't have at all. Obviously, you barely see the feathers. They're undeveloped when they're first born. When they start being mishiyazivu, then they're nice and cute, and your kids want to keep them. That's when to cut off their heads. Me'ematai b'nei yonah pisulin mishiyazivu. It's when they get that gold color. Oh, that's around the neck. And you can understand that the frustrated individual is going to talk about this, of course, is Yaakov Karacha. I mean, you know, all these beautiful feathers and so on. And there go all my feathers. So Tani Yaakov Karacha, me'ematai b'nei yonah kisherim, the shear of at what point it's kosher. It's actually merumez in the lashon of a pasuk, and I'm going to tell it to you. It's mishia al-u. That's how I was taught in the Brayta. I was taught at the point that they're mi'allah. And what is that? Hu tani la. He said it over because he was taught that way, but he made it his business to explain to us what that actually means. And it's a reference to a pasuk in Iyov that says, ve'ef rochav ya'al'u dam. Ya'al'u is a lashon of bli'ah. Tosis brings the, it's not his personal opinion that that's what it means, but he brings Menachem's approach that it's from a lashon of bli'ah. Because we do find in Tanakh, vishatu v'la'u. V'la'u seems to mean they swallow, drink, and swallow it deep, absorb. So then it means ya'alalu dam. Okay, but I mean, what does that mean? Eman. On Rabbaya, it means bichishomit gatsa, meaning v'atu dama. It means at the point that there's so much a developed feather that if you pluck that feather, it's alive to the extent that it bleeds. So mishialu means that the dam has become swallowed within it and now it's welling up, ready to be pulled out. It's interesting we find the same din, but the whole story of Natan Habachi with Mila, that you need to have the dam to be balua in the child, otherwise you can have bleeding problems at Mila and you shouldn't do the Mila. By Rebbe Zera. And what I want to understand, says Rebbe Zera, is this business about the teenager. I mean, is it really that it's like a different species? So it's neither a Ben Yonah nor a Tor or a Ben Yonah. Or is it that we really are not sure whether the teenage is viewed as the adult or the teenage is the extended child? And the practical implications of that would be where someone says, look, I'm chayiv myself on Oila from either Torim, B'nai Yonah, I don't care. And what he does is he brings teenagers from both. He brings a teenage Tor and a teenage Yonah. Now, if it's a suffix, I don't know which one I was Yotze, but I was definitely Yotze, one of them. Because one of them, it's either an adult or a child. Or you could say a teenager is neither. So that's the question. Aomer harei alai olam minat torinu b'nei, omin b'nei hayonah. of both species. Is it that the adolescent stage is a sveik ahavi, in which case you were nafik, you're yotzim amanafshach, or dema birya havi, or in fact, do we view teenagers as different species, in which case lo nafik, you would not be yotzim. Omar Rava, I don't understand your question. We just learned out of a pasuk, right? We said, Mina Tori, Min B'nei Ayona. And we learned out that that means Prat, the Tchilat, that's Yuv, Shebezev, Shebezev, Shepasol. I mean, you're talking about a pasuk. You're talking about giving over a piece of information, not telling you a suffix. I could think up a pasuk, a suffix myself. I don't need a pasuk to tell me a suffix. I mean, I don't assume God has the suffix. He's telling me, you know, I've never made my mind up about teenagers. I mean, difficult to believe that's what the pasuk is about. So if it says, I mean, Yaret Bishlam Abir Yahavi, if you're telling me that that's the point of the drasha, that teenagers are not the same species, so then okay, I accept that I'm not Yotze, either one, and then it makes sense that I have a pasuk. But what, you're going to tell me the meaning of that brayta was that it's a sveika? What is that supposed to mean? It's a chalom of desveika. I understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make up his mind. Or I need a pasuk to tell me if you don't know. I mean, obviously, if I don't know, I understand what the name. I mean, where would I come to be maksh or something? I don't know if it's kosher. Well, the truth is, what it was that Rabbi Zera was asking is whether we really meant that pasuk, Mina Torino Min B'nei Ayona, to be memayit, the adolescent, because he knew that the truth is that the pasuk is used for a completely different drush. Ki itzrich kra, you see, I suspect this whole pasuk over here is just an esmachta. If it's an esmachta, then the Rabbanan might be using it so that people will be certain not to bring the adolescent to be the species. As far as why the Torah said it, that's a different thing, you see. We need the kra, we need a pasuk, to be memayit, a nirva v'ne'evad. So remember, when it comes to behema, we have three different types of mumi. So we have the sexual mumi, which is rovea v'nirva. Of course, as Rashi points out, a bird doesn't exactly have the equipment to be the active partner in this little relationship, so we can only talk about a nirva. Okay, but you could still have a sexually abused bird, and therefore it would be maybe like the equivalent of the behema that was nirva. You have the nevat, somebody bows down to the animal, and somebody bows down to a bird. Yeah, I mean, you know, all kinds of strange religions out there. And you have a mum. Now what's interesting is, there's no psula mum by birds. There's no din of tummy by a bird. So I might have thought there's no problem of sexually abused birds, of idolatry abused birds. Maybe the whole business of the bird as an object of that type is not part of birding. So nirva v'nevad, I might think is kosher. Why? Because sakadait hamina. You see, the Torah puts these things together. It does say that do not bring any of these mumim, ki mashchatem behem mumbam. Now, mashchatam means their perversions. What does that have to do with a mum? So that's what Tanavir Bishmal is. That word hashchata, a rune, that rune is always either sexual rune or idolatrous rune. And they're both always referred to the same way, right? It's always zatshartem zonim achrayim. You mean zonim after znut, you mean zonim after avodat kochavim, and both of them are a hashchata. They wipe you out. So therefore, it's always a reference either to a dvarava or avodat kochavim. Dvarava means that very clearly in the story of the marble. Ki hishchit kol basarat darkol haaretz, which clearly was referring to sexual hashchata, because the pasuk immediately before that was about the bnei Elohim v'kulam nashim v'kol asher bacharu, and that was the whole issue. And it also means avodat kochavim, because it says beferish pen tashchitun v'asitem lechem peso. So obviously, making a peso is hashchata. Okay, now I'm saying, says Rabbi Shmuel, based on Rabbi Shmuel, I'm saying, Saziri, once we brought along mashchatam be'am mumba, okay, so it's comparing mum to hashchata. So now, what does that tell me? If there's a din of mum, so then there's hashchata. So kosham mum poselbo, dvar erva, v'alikachavim poselbo. As the Torah is saying now, that sexual, idolatrous, and physical blemish is all one issue. Okay, but I know that that's true about an animal, but kosher ain't a mumposabov, there's no problem of having a blemish, so maybe there's no problem of having a rather checkered past. And therefore, if the mum isn't posobo, ain't dvarer vave avadat kochavim poslimbo. Now, you know these birds. Hovelo posobo muma. The bird is okay, even if it's got a mum. The omar mar tamut vizachrut bivema. There's a special thing when it comes to mammals, that they have to be unblemished, and where they have to be males, like for carbonella, they have to be males. But there's no such thing, there's no identification of male and female when it comes to a bird. Whatever. So, and there's also no din of tamut. Ve'in tamut v'zachrut bo'afot. Once that's a given, there's no tamut v'zachrut. So maybe there's no dvar v'avavadat kavim nami lo livsobo. So maybe the whole thing is now absolutely out of any type of akpada in the whole area. Therefore, kamash balan, minatorin, bin b'nei ayona, nirva, and neavat. That's the real use of the pasuk. Now, the din of prat tchilot tchilat atziyuv shebezev shebezev. Is that a given or is that a suffix? That's the question. V'tanekama. V'kmiyachar anavka lo nivolak v'yiktir v'yikriv olamali. Ilavi krivo avamina mai kemishpat kemishpat chatata of v'imishum v'malak v'yiktir. I would have said that's just to tell me. Which, by the way, it does tell me. But so now, I understand it's meant to be believed across the board. Now, how do I know about the Chatat Bei Madena Ba'alam and Achulin? You said Achulin, and Be'yodo Ayyamanit, and Be'yop. Minolan. Omer Chist, Omer Kravi, Kriva Aronat Parachatat, Asher Lo, twice. That means Bishalo. Mishalo v'lo mishal tzibur, mishalo v'lo mishal ma'aser. But what about that bayom business? I mean, I've learned that out across the board, to directly to the nidava, the olat nidava, or the olat chova. Bayom tzevotu nafka. You're right. That's kidei nazva. And yado ayima needs, I do need. I learned that out from Rabba Barbar Chana nafka. The omer Rabba Barbar Chana, Rish Lakish kom makom sh'nehmar, etzba o kehuna, in ele yamin. So what do I need to know that from Chatas? Tanakama holds kuhuna boy etzba. And since it doesn't say etzba here, it doesn't mean anything. It's etzba that's the essence in lo boy kuhuna. Now, the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who do not use kemishpat to tell me the din of mimula aref, how do they know mimula aref in the malika of a ola? Minolu. Gamri malika mimlika. Kosher betorin pasul b'nei yona. Kosher b'nei yona pasul betorin. Tchilat atziyuv bezeh bezeh pasul. Tanu rabbanan torin gedolim kshirim ktanim psulim. Bnei yona ktanim kshirim gedolim psulim. Nibza kosher betorin pasul bnei yona. Kasher bnei yona pasul betorin. Tani rabban. Torim in the pasuk. Notice that when we're referring it in the Mishnah, we use a nun. Which is the Lashon Mishnah, the Chud, when we're referring to the drash and the pasuk, we use the mem, as it appears in the original Hebrew. So the torim in the pasuk means golim. Velo ktani, shiocha v'ladin. Uma b'nei yona that we're going to see are lo hukshu b'gdolim or hukshu b'ktanim. Torim shukshu b'gdolim. Eno din shukshu b'ktanim. Talmud omar, torim means dafke g'dolim velo ktani. B'nei yona, that means ktanim velo g'dolim. I mean, after all, sheyocho v'lodinu ma torim shlo hukshiru b'ktanim hukshiru b'gdolim. B'nei yona shukshu b'ktanim. Eno din shukshu b'gdolim. Talmud omar, b'nei yona dafke ktanim velo g'dolim. Can you tell me where you get all this from? Omar Rava, because lo nishtami krova l'chtobi b'nei atorin u'min ayona. So every time. Okay, fine. So ema b'nei yona, I see that pattern. So over there, k'tibu rachmona b'nei, yes, that's very specific. K'tani mean g'dolim lo, but I mean torim is just the name of a species. What's the difference with the ages? Iboy g'dolim laite, iboy k'tanim laite. Well, it has to be dumi the b'nei yona. Ma b'nei yona k'tani mean g'dolim lo, af torin, g'dolim mean k'tanim lo. Tanu rabbonu. Yochiyu kol ha-torim v'chol b'nei ha-yona k'sherim, Talmud omar min ha-torim, lo kol ha-torim, min b'nei ha-yonah, v'lo kol b'nei ha-yonah, from where we learn, prat t'tchilat ha-tziyuv shebezeh v'shebezeh shepasul. Me'im atay ha-torim k'sherim, mi she'asivu the body feathers. And me'im atay b'nei yonah p'sulim, mi she'asivu the neck feathers. Tani Yaakov karacha, me'im atay b'nei yonah k'sherim, mi she'al'u, hu tani lavu amarla. It says in the pasuk Efrochav Yaal Udam, and in practical terms, Emat Amar Abaye Mechisham Et Gat Famine VaAtidama. But Rabbi Zerama Arealai Olam Min HaTorim Omi Bnei Ayona, and he brings both of them, except that they were both Tchilat Atziu Shebezev Shebezev Mal. Is this din of the adolescent a Sveika Venafik, or is it a Birya Volonafik? Oh, my Rava, I don't understand. I mean, we just brought a pasuk, Toshma. Prat l'tchilut atziyuv, shebezev shebezev posul. I mean, what do we have pasuk for? With a suffix. Yeah, but bishlam abir yahave, I understand why we need a pasuk. But if it's a sveika, I understand the pasuk. Itzirkol l'mutei sveika? No, the truth is, ki itzirkol for something entirely different. L'mutei nirva v'neva. Saka dait ramina hova v'chtiv ki bashkatam behem mum bam. And we know that Tanur Ver Bishmal, Koma Kom Shinemar Hashchata, always means Dvaravava Vadat Kochavim, Dvaravad Dichtiv Ki Hishchit Kobosarata Kol Aretz. It means Avadat Kochavim Dichtiv Pentashchitun Veasitam Lachem Pesel. Therefore, the rule is, Kosham Mum Posobo Dvaravava Vadat Kochavim Poslimbo, because I mean it's put together. Koshena Mum Posobo in Dvaravava Vadat Kochavim Poslimbo, and I would have concluded Hani Ofot. However, a possible muma, because after all, Omar Mar Tamud v'zachrut beveimav ain't Tamud v'zachrut ba'ofot. So I would have concluded that varavav avadat kavim nami lo lefsobu. Therefore, I need to know kamash malan minatorim umim v'nei ayona, which leaves us now in doubt as to what the rabbanon were saying when they were masmich the halacha on this pasuk not to bring the adolescent of either species. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
There is the Well, Shavua Tov, everybody. Here we are in a happy, snowy Matzah Shabbos in Chodesh Shvat. Matter of fact, it's a Leil Chof Beis B'Shvat, which is exactly what Daf we're on from Kulin. Amazing, what a coincidence. So there we are on Chof Beis B'Kulin.
Is it Chof Gimel Shvat now?
Well, actually, I'm sorry, he's right. Today was Chof Beis.
No, I'm not right now.
Sorry, today was Chof Beis and we're doing Chof Beis. Oh,
you're right, if we had done
a
job in the morning.
In the morning, yes. My mistakes, you're absolutely right. Anyway, now that we've determined that we're actually on Chof Beis.
And it's 8:15.
Let us go. So now, we ended up, as I mentioned earlier, we ended up with a strange situation here. We have three different approaches. Remember that the problem was, what is the meaning of the Kamishpat, which is mentioned in the Malika, of the Eilas Ha'of, which is being brought as a replacement for the Sia of Achatis in the Karban Eilaviyah, right? This is talking about Shmias Kol. It says, Umalak, it doesn't say where to do the Malika, how to do the Malika, it's Kamishpat. To do the Eilas Kamishpat. Now, immediately before the Eilas Ha'of, we're talking about the Chatas Ha'of. So that we have two possibilities. Either Kamishpat Chatas Ha'of that we just discussed, or Kamishpat Chatas Behemah, whose replacement this is. So, we had three Shitas. The Shita of the Tanakhama was Kamishpat refers to Chatas Behemah, out of which we learn that it has to be brought from Chulin, and has to be shed in the bowl of the Yom, and you have to use Yado HaYemanit. From the fact that the Torah said Vehikrivo by Olat Ha'of, it's by Chatat Ha'of, it's telling us that the Olat Ha'of could not possibly be the same as the Chatat Ha'of, otherwise why would it say Vehikrivo? Therefore, we know that it's not the same as the chatas, and would not take only one siman, it requires two siman. And then we said, how do we know that it's the entire two simanim? Maybe it should just be rove like the chatas. And we answered, because we're more likely ikter means that just like the haktorah is harosh ba'atzmo ba'guf ba'atzmo, which is a given, because we're two acts, separate acts of haktorah. You can't do two acts of haktorah with a zrika in between. You can't possibly do that unless you have it in two separate pieces. So to the malika has to be in two separate pieces. The problem is, we mentioned then, if I knew that last part, that it has to be in two separate pieces, how the heck did I think that I was going to get away with doing only one siman? Why did I need the equivote to tell me only cut one, cut both simanim? Otherwise I would have thought you have to cut only one siman, like the chatas of. How would I then be able to hold the head and the body separately, and how would I understand the malak leikhtir? That the malik already has to be a separate head and body. It needs to be a separate head and body, I have to cut it. Can't possibly say I should only cut part of it. Correct? The vehikrivo is unnecessary. The vehikrivo that says, don't treat any other bird the way you're treating this bird, the chatasov. Don't treat the olasov that way. From there we learned that that must mean that you have to check two simanim in the oila. So then we're still bothered, but that doesn't tell you you need to cut the whole simon, maybe only part of the simon, so we brought a riot from the molar beach to the whole simon. But once we knew the whole simon, we already know the epicimon. What did we know to the equivo? We need the equivo to tell me that you need the rove of the simon. If we already know the whole simon, it doesn't make sense. So he asks the Gemara, but Tanakama, I don't get the Tanakama here. But the Niyaki, the Nafkalon, if we've already used Ramalak Vikir to prove that you can't get away with just rove, you need the whole thing. And then why did you need the Hikrivo? Why didn't you just say? Obviously it's not the same as the Chatas. By the Chatas it says Velo Yavdio. And by the Ola, for all intents and purposes, it is saying the Yavdio, by saying Ramalak Vikir. Ah, it says the Gemara, because the Lav Vikrivo, look, if it wouldn't have said Vikrivo, then my logical conclusion would have been to say, after having just described the Chatas component of the Chatas Eila replacement for the Chatas Vahima, my tendency would have been to say Kimishpat is a reference to what we just discussed, namely the Chatas Eila. And then you'll say, well, wait, it can't be the same as Chatas Eila because it says V'malak V'hiktir. So I would say to you, my response is to that book, on the one hand, the Torah is saying that it's the same as the chatasov. Okay, so v'malak v'hika can't possibly mean that at the time of malika I already have to cut it into two, if it already told me k'mishpat to be like the chatas. So I would have then interpreted that v'malak v'hika indeed does compare malika to haktara, but it comes to compare it in terms of something else completely, namely the chatasov. If you remember, the malika can be done at the bottom of the misfair. Comes along the public to say, aha, but you can't be maktir a bird on the bottom of the Mizbeach. You can only be maktir a bird on the top of the Mizbeach. Since it says, v'molag v'iktir, it's telling me, so too much the malika of the Eilas Ov. And by the way, that is true. We do learn that out from you. So v'molag v'iktir tells me the malika of an Eilas Ov is on the top part of Mizbeach above the Chuta Sikra. So you'd say, well, but why not learn everything out of that? And say that also we should have a separate body and a separate head, just like we have. I would say, look, I mean, I can't do that. The third is Kimishpat. Kimishpat means Kimishpat the Chatas. Oh! Therefore, Vikrivo first weans me of that dependency. I don't have to say Kimishpat means Kimishpat Chatas Ha'ov. Because it already says Vikrivo to tell me it doesn't mean Kimishpat. Now that it doesn't mean that, I say to myself, well, if that's the case, that the malak v'hiktir should be used entirely, not only to tell me the place that it needs to be on top of the mizbeach, but also to indicate to me that it needs to be in the same mode by separating the head from the body, just as the haktorah separates the head from the body. Okay? It's very clear now that we have an understanding of the Tanakhama fits in beautifully. Now, the next thing you said was, Did I finish it inside? Maybe I didn't. Let's see it inside. The imishum v'malak, I would have said like this. My kemishpat chatata'ov. V'im mishum umalak v'itir. What about umalak v'itir that says keep it separate? I would have said that someone's coming to tell me after all says kimishpat chatat. I would have said it only means to say av amina ma haktara b'rosho shom izbeah af malika b'rosho shom izbeah. It's only come to tell me where to do the malika and not to treat the erla the way you would treat the chatasov. The chatasov is shechted on the bottom part. Beneath the putasikra malika, I mean, beneath the putasikra, where the erla should be shechted in the same place you do the akrava lembala mi putasikra. Ashta the katav rachmanu v'ikrivo. But now that the Torah says v'ikrivo, so now I know to rosh benami ha. Use it entirely, because we certainly kamishpat does not mean kamishpat chatatov. It means kamishpat chatat beima to teach me that it needs to be bayom, needs to be minakulin, and it needs to be biyado hayimadi. Now, you said that a chatas behemah is a given, that it can only be brought in a chulin. But you never told me how I know it about a chatas behemah. Now I'm going to learn out from chatas behemah to chatas to the olah sa'ot. But how do I know about chatas behemah itself? Chatas behemah, the ina ba'a ela min ha'chulin ino. And how do we know that then? Omra fisid omra kradi kriv aharon et far ha'chatat asher lo. And every time, it keeps repeating this, asher lo, you remember, it keeps saying asher lo. So, one, the Asher Lo tells me, Mishalo, Velo Mishal Tzibur. You don't take it from the Trumat Halishka, where you would normally take the Korbanas that are being brought on behalf of the Tzibur. And the second one tells me, Asher Lo, Velo Mishal Maaser. You can't even use money of Maaser, even if you hold that Maaser is Mamon Hediot, but it's not Minakulin in the sense of having come not from some type of previous demand on you. This has to be completely free and clear. And you say bayom. Now, I understand that bayom. I mean, bayom appears by El Aharon. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alecha. I understand that should be in yom. But why do I need to go there to learn out the yom? There's a general yom that is mentioned after, in Sav, after the description of all of the korbanos. So then we have a wrap-up. So it's a tirada. Biyom tzavotzorosh b'dei Yisrael. Biyom, so it says biyom tzavotzorosh. It needs to be done biyom. Why don't we just learn the din of Malika biyom from the general halacha of korbanos being done only biyom? Mi biyom tzavotzorosh. Do we not learn it out from biyom tzavotzorosh? We do indeed. K'dei naz, but that was only brought in the wake of the other issues. As normally we talk about these three things as being general limitations, and we mentioned it here too, we don't really need to learn the din of bayom on an Orla Sa'ov from a Chatas Behemah. Okay, what about Yado Hayimanit? Even that I don't think you needed to learn from Chatas Behemah, did you? Because it does say Kohen over here by the Korban Olah V'Yoreid, and I thought that we have a limud of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. We should not have to learn it from there. The Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Kol Makom Shneemar Etzbar Oku. Now, whenever there's a reference to Etzbar, the Etzba'o, we learn out from the din of the Mitzora that is in his right hand, right hand. Wherever it says Kahuna, it always means you mean. So it does say Kahuna. So why do I need to learn that out from the din of the Chatas? The Ida. The response to that is Kuhuna boy Espa, Espa lo boy Kuhuna. It's not either Kuhuna or Espa. If it says Kuhuna alone, you still need to prove that what is done with the right hand. Now, the other thing that bothers me is the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar Ben Shimon simply disregard that whole middle sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael pointed out that kemishpat would have to mean kemishpat chatata of, because it's coming to teach me where to do the malika. Since it doesn't say mula oref when it comes to the oila, how do I know mula oref unless I learn it out from kemishpat chatata of? That was Rabbi Yishmael's solution to why I don't need to learn out everything from kemishpat chatata of. I know it's kemishpat chatata of isn't referring to how much you shech, that I know from your molek, that I know from the hikrivo. But what it is coming for is to tell me that that malika is supposed to be mula oref. I think it's probably time to turn off that machine. The heating one, not the shechting one. So the question is, how come everybody else ignores that issue? Where do they know that malika is supposed to be done from Mul HaOref when it comes to an Olas Olas. It doesn't say it. So asks the Gemara now, the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Mimul HaOref, that Rabbi Shmuel learned out from Kimishpat Chatat HaOf. Minolu, how do they know that? They say, look, I mean, if you learn out the word, it's a mamatzinu. I mean, if Malika by a chat, as it says beferish, mimul arpo. So why should Malika mean any different when it comes to Nola? I mean, is it simply an understanding what the word means? It's a valid limud, is a mamatzinu. Why should I be machal between them?
Look, the highlighted Mishnah.
Kasher beturin pasu bivneyona. Kasher bivneyona pasu beturin. Now, not to be confused, as many people get, that a tor and a benyona is the same species, a tor being the adult and a benyona being the juvenile. That is not the case. A tor is one species, a yona is another species. And the tor, the adult, is what's brought to the mizbeach, and the yona, it's the benyona, the child, that is brought on the mizbeach. And you cannot bring a child tor, and you cannot bring an adult yonah on the mizbeach. And what's more, tchilat atziyuv b'zeh b'zeh pasul. The beginning of the onset of puberty of these birds is seen by a change in the coloration of the feathers around the neck. When those feathers start turning gold, then you know that the process has begun, but they're still adolescent, so it's not finished. Tchilas atziv b'zeh b'zeh is puzzle. They're no longer a ben, but they haven't arrived at the stage of the adult. And everybody knows the teenager is puzzle. You can't use them for either. They're neither that or that. As we'll see at the end of the Gemara, they're bria b'tnei atzma. They're b'chlal not included among other humans.
But you can't do the leak on them.
Do you like that?
I would just like to mention that Rebbe's pshat, relating it to our adolescence, has helped me through some of my children being tolerant and being patient.
Which pshat?
That this is a clue that there was a puzzle, that no teenagers.
Okay.
It's helping through a lot of frustration.
Yeah, yeah. Tana Rabbanan.
Helping them or helping you?
The problem is that Tchilas Tziv doesn't seem to go on forever sometimes. But the sheer doesn't.
Extended adolescence.
Yeah.
It's all very encouraging. It's not obvious, but he's providing it for child strength.
Little
care. Tana Rabbanan. So the Bryce fleshes out here the Mishnah a bit. Torin, because the Mishnah just says Kosher one apostle, the other say which is which. So Bryce explains that Torim, only the Gedolim are Ksherim. Gedolim over here means adult, that means large size. Kitanim are Ksherim. The Yonah Kitanim Ksherim, Gedolim Ksherim. And therefore, Nimsa, that what our Mishnah says is correct, that Kosher B'Torim, Pasul B'Nei Yonah. Kosher B'Nei Yonah, Pasul B'Torim. Now you see how the Mishnah has worked out.
In the Torah, does it mention any distinction?
The Gemara is going to go through it. Tadarabana. Torim means gedolim below ktanim. Sheyachol, now Tosva says this language, sheyachol valadinu, is absurd. Because sheyachol means what I would have thought if not for the pasuk. And valadinu is always telling me even without the pasuk this is what I would have thought. But they're opposites. How can you say sheyachol valadinu? Right, but you don't say it that way. We say halo dinu in the, and you always say halo dinu in the right direction, not in the in the opposite direction. Just as a matter of wording, it doesn't like this. It's never put together. Shiachol and halo dinu in the same place. They have opposite tendencies. So what it really should say is shiachol, does it suggest? But it is a din. I think it's a kavachomer. However, it's an unnecessary kavachomer. Because even without a kavachomer, I would have concluded the same thing. But anyway, sheyachol uma b'nei yona shelo hukshuru b'gdolim hukshuru b'ktanim. If b'nei yona, now b'nei yona are only kosher b'ktanim, not the gdolim. So the torim, which are kosher and gdolim, should certainly be kosher b'ktanim. Now, of course, this is a very strange thing to say, since each one is whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tosis is troubled by wherever the Gemara does this, Tosis is troubled by it. And there's different approaches and different sugyas. Now, what Tosis time is over here, if there wouldn't be a pasuk, see, the problem over here is that the Torah and the Benyona is always put together, and therefore they're contrasted. Because that ben makes very obvious that the tor is not a ben. Mm-hmm. But suppose it would have said tor in a different context, or it would have said b'nei onah v'torim. So then you could say, well, maybe the b'nei is on the torim too, maybe the b'nei is on the other. But it wouldn't have made it obvious that the tor is one way or the other, right? It wouldn't have put it in the same context as the ben yonah. That's what the Gemara is saying. So what it's saying is, if it wouldn't have said, obviously we'd have to say torim somewhere, because otherwise we wouldn't know torim in Torah. But if it wouldn't have said torim in this context, so clearly limit them, so then I would certainly have assumed that the Torah being said without any adjective, and the Yonah being said after with an adjective. So the only thing that's given really is being limited is the Ben Yonah. And the Torah is not given with any limitation, it's not given anything. So I would have said, okay, so if that's the case, that the Torah certainly doesn't, the Torah doesn't mean to say the Torah is Dafka, the adult. I mean, why would I think that? The given is that we know young ones are kosher from Ben Yonah. And then if it would have said Torah in a different context, okay, so Torah doesn't have to be a Ben. That's kosher, and it's good as a Ben. I mean, the Ben is the thing that we know is good in other species where there is a Hakpada. So I'm certainly not going to think that there's a Hakpada in the opposite direction. That's the meaning of the Kal V'Chomer over here. And therefore, for sure it should be now kosher b'ktani. Talmud lomar, torim gedolim elo ketanim. Therefore, now we don't know what that means. And later on the Gemara is going to say, well, how does that prove anything? And we're going to see that it only proves it because of the way that it's makish it to be, it pushes them one up against the other in order to contrast it in that fashion. But, okay, right now let's just assume it's a given. So torim or gedolim elo ketanim. Now, we get to the b'nei yonah. We say, well, b'nei yonah mean dafka ketanim, v'lo gedolim. Because, I mean, sheyachol, again, if it wouldn't have been given in that sense, I would have said, if torim are not kosher b'ketanim, if that's a given, that nonetheless they're hukshu b'gedolim, so then I would have looked at the b'nei yonah to mean, well, when it comes to the b'nei yonah, it could even be ketanim. But I mean, certainly it could be Gedolim. Because we know the Torah was marked on Gedolim when it comes to Torah. If you're telling me that Torah somehow means magically Gedolim, I mean, so then the B'nei Yonah would be an extension of that idea, right? So if Torah Shalom, Ukshu B'Ktanim, Ukshu B'Gedolim, B'nei Yonah, Shukshu B'Ktanim, and Adin Shukshu B'Gedolim. Therefore, and again, we don't know what this means. Therefore, Tabu Domar, B'nei Yonah, Ktanim, V'lo Gedolim. I don't understand. My Talmud, where do we learn it out from? I don't understand how you're learning it out. You start off by saying that the word itself wouldn't have meant it, and then you say, and therefore it says the word, that the word does mean it. If the word means it, so then why were we entertaining the opposite? So, my Talmud, where are you learning this from? On my Rav, it says, Rav, look, I mean, the point over here is, lo lishtamid kra, there's many, many references, are there not, to these birds. And when we have the carbon oil of a yore, the various carbon oils we have by Shmias Kol, we have the din of Yoledes, we have the din of a Zob, we have the din of a Zobah, we have the din of the Dovus. I mean, every single time it talks about the same birds, and every single time it says, Torim of Neona. Now, I mean, why should it do that? I mean, look, Lolishtame Krami, in one of these locations, you couldn't have said, Min Bnei Torim of Neona, to make it clear that it's not a. I mean, why are we constantly referring to the juvenile of one species and the non-juvenile of another species? Okay, fine. I mean, that I understand. I mean, the B'nei Yonah, I understand. The B'nei Yonah is an adjective that doesn't belong there. So, but the Torah doesn't have an adjective. I mean, you haven't shown me the word Torah means doctor, the adult, and that's ridiculous. The word Torah is a species. Now, you're telling me that B'nei Yonah, why does it always say B'nei Yonah? Oh, well, I asked you. You're right. Why does it only say? Because it only means the bunny. So B'nei Yonah, I admit. But Ema B'nei Yonah, the Kasuburach on a B'nei. Of course, the word B'nei means Ketanim and Gedolim Lo. But Torim, it doesn't say B'nei. Just a Torim. So then maybe the word means Yiboy Gedolim Laite, Yiboy Ketanim Laite. Let me bring whatever it is that I want to bring. Because you didn't indicate a specific limitation. You didn't say Avi HaTorim the way you said B'nei Yonah, did you?
Well, wouldn't it have said?
Here the point is that it's the heckish of Torim of Bnei Yonah that we're darshan over here. Since the Torah insists on putting them together and never separating them either, So then the point is that it's telling you that they're mukashim to one another. In what sense? In the sense of their specificity. In other words, just like ma b'nei yonat tanim in gdolim lo, av torim gdolim in tanim lo. That I am giving you two limited descriptions of species. That's the point of putting them in this fashion. So when I say the Torah in the context of the Ben Yonah, I mean the adult Torah. Tzim Rabbana. Yachor yukol ha-torim sherim. Rekol b'nei ha-yonah sherim. In other words, I might think that the adolescent Torah, the teenager, is already a Torah. I might think that the teenager is still a Ben. So therefore they would all, even though they reached that stage, they could be kosher. Talmud lomar min ha-torim v'lo kol ha-torim. Min b'nei ayonah v'lo kol b'nei ayonah. To exclude in both species prat tchilat ha-tziyuf shebezev shepasul. Both species are pasul once they reach the stage of adolescence. They're neither adults nor children. Me'i matai ha-torim kisherim. So now, what would that shir be? Mishiyaz hiru. In other words, the end of it, the process, which begins with the yellowing of the feathers around the neck, ends with a full golden plumage. Tzihuv is what we're talking about. Zahav, rather, is what we're talking about. So the original yellowing is on the down feathers around the neck. But afterwards, the plumage actually turns a deep golden color. And that's the adult. Once it reaches that stage, it's kosher.
This is the mean,
what we call pigeons may not be that mean. I mean, clearly, if this is the semen of the adult, and
does that refer to both species?
No, this is the tar.
This is the
tar. Yeah, so the tar is when it turns actually zahav. Me'imatay b'nei yonah pisulin mishiyatzivu. And at what point does the B'nai Yonah become fossil? When the down feathers start turning that color, that yellow color. But we never discussed from what point you can start bringing a bird. Because after all, when the bird is first, I mean, it's a chick. It doesn't even look like its own species. I mean, it doesn't look like a chick. It's pretty disgusting, actually, in the beginning. I mean, so we're going to bring a freshly hatched chick to his back. What is the sheer of being allowed to bring it? Tani Yaakov karacha me'ematai b'nei yonah kisherim. From what point, this is a bryce that he's quoting. The bryce uses a strange word. The shiur, at what point it's old enough to be brought in the mizbech, is mishia ala elu. It has to be from the point of ilu. What is that? Who tani la, he said the bryce, well, who amar la? And he also explained what the meaning of that word is, based on the poskin Iyov, which goes Efrochav Ya'alu Dam. So the Ya'alu is a meaning of welling up with blood. Maybe that's from Bli'ah. Meaning when you, what is the shir? Eimat. Amar Abayim Michishamit Gatfa Mine V'asidama. When you pull out a feather and you get a drop of blood in the place where the feather was Mechubar, that's a sign that the bird is already filled out now. Yes, it's a problem.
So it's got
to
be old.
It has to be old enough for that, but not yet started on puberty.
Is the word gozal appear in Tanakh for young birds, or is it only Ephrah? No, and here we say gozalot and Ephrahim.
Right.
I learned that there's a distinction between them, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't think offhand.
And birds and trees.
Because when we talk about in the Torah, it's in terms of Ephrochim. By Shiva Chaten, we talk about very young birds. Mm-hmm. I call the Ephrochim at the earliest stage. Boiler Yizera. Haomer Hare Alai Ola Minatorin Omi Bnei Ayonah. What I want to get to the bottom of, actually, Rabbi Zera says, is this interim stage, and there's two ways of understanding teenagers, that we're not sure if they're adults or they're children, or they're different species. Right? And that's my question. Suppose somebody would have said, I'm going to bring a carbon for whatever I want, either a Torah or a Ben Yonah. What he does is he brings two birds, one a teenaged Torah, and one a teenaged Ben Yonah. So you say, if it's a suffix, he's definitely upset. Because if a teenager is an adult, he was yotzei with the Torah. If a teenager is a child, then he was yotzei with the Ben Yonah. Ivy, he can't do it. Look up Hila. How's he going to bring that? Fine, but he did. Okay, whatever the case was. Tosfos goes through some possibilities. But it turned out the Kohen went ahead and brought his birds. And now he figures, if it's a suffix, then I was yotzei. So Hevit Chilata Tziyuv Shebezev Shebezev. He brings an example on each one of the teenager. Mal, Sveika Havi Vinafik. Is it that it's a suffix whether the teenager is an adult or a child? Oh, Dilma Birya Havi, maybe it's a different species. Valonafik, and you're not Yosef. Omar, a different species in the sense of, for all intents and purposes, being a different species. I mean, it still looks human. I mean, in this case, it still looks British. Omar Rava Toshma. Pratis Chilutat Yuksha Bezev Zesha Pasa. We learn out from, we just told me we have a pasuk, right? You said Torim, Min HaTorim, Min B'nei Ayonah, comes to be Mamayet, Chilat HaTziyot. So I don't understand what you're thinking. I mean, the only way I can understand that, if you're going to tell me that the Torah is Mechadesh, that middle stage is neither or nor, not an adult, not a child, possible for both, fine, I understand why there's a pasuk that says Min HaTorim, Min B'nei Ayonah. But if you're going to tell me it's a suffix, what does that mean? That God doesn't know. So he's telling you, I mean, you don't know. So if you don't know, so then don't bring it on me. Why would I need a pasuk? If there's a pasuk, you can't be telling me that God doesn't know. Although sometimes you wonder, if you say, God only knows. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God doesn't know about these teenagers. Not that bad. So, I don't understand what you're thinking. You're going to tell me it's a suffix. I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me, well, if you have a suffix, you'll have a suffix. Thank you very much. When you keep suffix, can't mean that God has a suffix. Therefore, it seems to me evident from the very fact that it's a suffix that it's Bir Yahav. Says the Gemara, well, not necessarily. Maybe ki yitzrach, maybe the pasuk was just being brought sort of as an asmachta. The real meaning of the pasuk min haTorim v'nei haYonah actually comes to tell me the same thing that min comes to tell me habakar min haTzor, which is the pasul a nirva and a ne'evad. I will say, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me the din of eifa is different than any nirva and ne'evad? Because Sakta Itakamina, Ho il vichsiv ki mashfatam bahem mumbam. In the Parsha of Mumin, it says, Lo yeratzu lachem. Why lo yeratzu lachem? Ki mashfatam bahem mumbam. Now, hashfata and mum are not the same thing. Hashfata always refers to something sexual, as we see, says the Gemara, for the Tana Devei Rav Yishmael. Or avodat kochelim dvar erva, which is kishkit kol basar tarko al haaretz. So now by the mabul, hashkata refers dafka to erva, or it can refer to avodat kochelim because it says pentashchitun v'asitem lakan pesel. And we know that hashkata is the same thing as znut. It's also either avodat kochelim or erva. So it's always put together. What the Torah has done over here is it compared mum to hashkata. So I might easily have concluded that kol sha'am mum posel bosa, therefore an animal, where we have the whole parsha of mumim, there and only there does a dvar erva and avodat kochavim poslimbo, which is nirva the nevat. But kol sha'ena mum posel bo, birds, a mum doesn't posel a bird, So too, I would say, ein dvar erva avodat kochavim poslimbo. Therefore, a nirva and a nevad, which is erva and avodat kochavim respectively, will not pass. V'hani ofot horavalot pasil b'umum, and since it's a given that ofot do not have a psul of mumim, dom amar, you'll notice that the Torah never talks about the word mimim, and never talks about the word zachar, when it comes to a bird. Therefore, tamut v'zachrut is only an issue b'veima. V'ein tamut v'zachrut b'ofot. There is no concept of gender qualification of a bird. Oila, kata, it's all the same thing. Makes no difference if that's male or female, which is very different from the veima. Furthermore, it makes no difference to us whether it has a mum, a technical mum. I mean, of course, if it's mechus or aver, if it's included in hakriveon alup bechasecha, which is disgusting, that's a different issue. But mum qua mum doesn't appear by eifes. Never talks about needing to be tamim. So I might say the same way it doesn't need to be tamim, the same way it doesn't need to be a zachar. So too, dvar ervav avadat kochavim, being as they're compared in mum and hashkasa. So the hashkasa should also not apply to them if mum doesn't apply to them. Therefore, dvar ervav avadat kochavim, nami lo litzobu, memel, you should be kosher with a nirva and a nevad. Kamashba, lan min atarin uvnimin b'nei ayuna. In order to jazz it up a little bit, we added this as an esmacha, and by the way, that excludes the teenagers. But in reality, maybe not. Maybe the teenagers are excluded al safek, not al sapasek. In which case, you can't bring a raya by saying that you don't need a pasek to exclude a safek. The pasek is really coming to exclude nirva v'nevatz. We don't have an answer here to our question.
It's so clear that we need to exclude nirva v'nevatz.
Well, that's the first thing, being as it's similar to the min by behemoth. Be the first thing we exclude.